Now that's more like it. Where is that pin? Boston Celtics roar back after a horrible start, and they're still alive. We're going to talk about it on a bonus Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hi there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter coming to you after a Boston Celtics 121-108 win in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, beating the Miami Heat and staying alive. Just going to get into this. This is a bonus podcast. No ads, no live reads, no nothing. Just going to talk because I promised you a show. And I'm going to give you a show. And probably not as long as the usual shows, but wanted to react a little bit to this win. So let's start with the good stuff, right? The good stuff. The second half, the third quarter where the Boston Celtics outscored Miami 41-25. Finally, it was so stark, so dramatic. It's almost like they were different players. It was, I don't know if you've ever seen like the Today Show ambush makeovers where they grab some tourist and completely make this person over, and then they present that person to the family, and the family's just so shocked. They're crying tears of joy. Oh my God, I can't believe you made this ugly person so hot. Like that's basically what they do, right? They take this person who's just all frumpy and they go, hey, we'll give you a haircut. We're going to dress you up. Look at how good this person looks. That's what the Celtics were. The first half of this game was ugly tourist in New York. And the second half of this game was like the big reveal. Hey, remember this? Look at who we can be. They came out, they played great in the second half. And to hear Jaylen Brown talk about it, he said, we're playing a little fast, a little bit antsy. We're trying to win the game in the first half, which is kind of a fear when you come into a game like this. And I tweeted out during the first half, it was like middle of second quarter, I think, that the Celtics were reminding me of last year's team. All of a sudden, they looked like last year's team, weren't really trusting each other. They were kind of demonstratively frustrated on the court. They were trying to do it all themselves, and it just looked ugly. It looked bad, and that I think Jaylen Brown's making a point there that they weren't trying to play their best. Each guy was trying to win the game. And this is a problem for the Celtics, and it's great that they were able to kind of figure this out. It's kind of what I've been saying, and I'm certainly not alone. There are plenty of people who have been saying it. The Celtics' strength is in their ball movement. The Celtics' strength is when they attack. Why do we say attack? Why do we talk about multiple attacks? Getting the ball side to side, against the zone, attacking the gaps. Oh my God, they finally attacked the zone. They got to the middle of the zone. They attacked the gaps. They were using picks like they like to do to like kind of like run pick and roll against the zone. Getting into the middle of it and creating opportunities for everybody to score. This is when they're at their best. And why does Jason Tatum have a huge second half like he did, 21 points, and get to the line, not hit 9 of 10 free throws? Why does Jaylen Brown have 18 second half points on 8 of 12 shooting in the second half. 8 of 12. I gotta tell you, I feel like Jaylen Brown, when he's got it going like this, this is like the biggest indicator of the Celtics moving the ball, because there's no bigger beneficiary than Jaylen Brown when the Celtics are moving the ball. Now, he's been shooting the ball great, but in the last game, in game 4, 8 of 14, 14 shots for him. He hit 57%, 8 of 14, and he had 21 points, but that's not enough, 14 shots. He hit 11 of 17. By the way, this stretch of shooting for Jaylen Brown, let's just work our way backwards. Game 5, 12 of 23, 52% for 28 points. Game 4, 8 of 14, 57% for 21 points. Game 3, 11 of 17, 60, almost 65%, 26 points. Game 2, 8 of 14, 57% for 21 points. It was only game 1 where he kind of struggled, where he shot 6 of 14, but he was 3 of 4 from 3 in that game. He is really playing well, shooting well. The funny thing is I don't think he's been defending well. He's made a ton of defensive mistakes, but he is shooting the lights out. But defensively, he's throw the second half away. Defensively, he's been at the center of a lot of mistakes, which is amazing to me, because usually when he's making defensive mistakes, his shooting suffers. But this is just an observation there. His part of the Celtics' dilemma, part of the Celtics in the first half, Jaylen Brown was missing some rotations. I mean, I've seen over the past 2-3 games, guys taking Jaylen Brown aside, be like, here's what we're supposed to be doing here, buddy. But he was great in this game, great in the second half, and his shooting's just been off the charts. But Jaylen getting these opportunities, 10 three-pointers, that really is a sign that the Celtics' ball movement is there, because he's the catch-and-shoot guy. He's the guy that, all right, you want to pay attention to Kemba? Okay, you want to pay attention to Tatum? Sure, no problem. Here comes Jaylen Brown swooping in from the left corner, drilling a three. Contested, not contested. I feel very confident in him taking those shots. By the way, Kemba Walker against the zone in the second half, 4 assists, 7 points, 2 of 5. He had a pull-up 3, just a couple of free throws, just did a little bit of everything, had a steal in that mix in the second half. I thought Kemba, the Celtics getting into that zone, getting into the teeth of that zone, really made the difference there, because, and I'm sure I think I said it here maybe a couple times, you get into that zone, you're going to force them to play man. I either said it here, I don't even remember anymore. I say things here, I write things somewhere, I say things on the radio, I don't know, but I know I've said it before. Miami plays zone because they have to. Miami plays this zone because if they play man-to-man the entire game, 48 minutes, they're going to lose. Because you've got Duncan Robinson and Goran Dragic out there who are just going to kill you offensively, but they're also going to kill Miami defensively. There are weak spots in their man-to-man defense that the Celtics can just destroy. But they play the zone because they have to. And the Celtics against the zone have mostly been like blah. Even when they have good looks, they've missed those shots. So the Miami doesn't feel the need to get out of it. They're just, all right, they're missing the shots. Let's just keep letting them miss those shots or turning the ball over. Even if they get to good places, they'd turn the ball over. Finally, they got to the middle of that zone, picked it apart, and forced Miami to play defense, play man-to-man defense, because you can only play zone long enough for it to be effective. Like you, once it's no longer effective, it's not like a man-to-man defense where you just, hey, you got to play up on the pick and roll if that's their goal, or you've got to go over screens or under screens, whatever your thing is, playing man-to-man. You can say, oh, okay, we're a little loose on this action. We're a little loose on this directive. Let's tighten that up. In a zone, once things go bad, that's it. It's over. Once a team has figured out the zone, you're toast. So you have to get out of it. And then you can get back into it later and just kind of see if you can throw these curveballs. But a zone defense is a change of pace thing. You play a zone every once in a while because something's been working. They're getting a little comfortable. The other team's getting a little comfortable. So you throw a different defensive look at them so they go, oh, wait, whoa, okay, what's this? I was used to seeing this thing. And now you've got 3-4 possessions and they, all right, you're in a zone. Okay, we're going to do this. Boom, 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 your zone's toast. Okay, back to man. Miami's played zone for most of this series because the Celtics have sucked against it for most of this series. In this game, the second half, they didn't suck against it anymore. And that's really the big thing. And the other big thing is, I have to, Daniel Theis. Daniel Theis was awesome in the second half. Brad Stevens said he was pretty good in the first half, but it was the second half. 10 of his 13 rebounds came in the second half. 2 of his 3 block shots came in the second half. One of them might have been a goaltend. I have to look at it again, but might have been a goaltend. But NBA officials are just so shitty at calling goaltends. They're terrible at block charge. They're terrible at goaltend, not goaltends. For some reason, they just cannot see goaltends in real time. But regardless, he was great in the second half. The Celtics in the second half, you want the one stat that sums up the second half and why the Celtics were able to outscore Miami by, what did they outscore them? 16, 20 points in the second half. Here's the one stat. 0 offensive rebounds for the Miami Heat. 0 offensive rebounds for the Miami Heat. The Celtics had 7 offensive rebounds, but that's not even as important as keeping Miami off the boards. Because how many times in these runs, in these games that the Celtics have lost, or even in game 3 when they won and they were starting to give back the lead, Bam Adebayo swooping in, offensive rebounds, tip outs, slapping the ball back to their teammates. All of that stuff erased in the second half. Erased. So the Celtics were able to keep Miami off the boards. Daniel Theis was huge with that. Like I said, 10 rebounds in the second half, 7 defensive rebounds. Jason Tatum, 7 defensive rebounds in there. Marcus Smart clearing 4 boards in the second half. And this is super important stuff, that the Celtics out-rebounded Miami 28-12 in the second half. So much of what's gone wrong for the Celtics. It's been number 1, turnovers. Number 2, letting Miami extend possessions. And getting it to either a shooter or a Bam Adebayo pick and roll. Here's another stat that was really interesting and indicative of how the second half went, or how this game went. Bam Adebayo had 13 dunks in the first 4 games of the conference finals. So that's just a bit more than 3 per game. 3 dunks per game is a lot. And at least one of them is an alley-oop. No dunks in this game from Bam Adebayo. Daniel Theis outplayed Bam Adebayo. And especially in the second half. If that can continue, and I don't know if it will, it certainly could be an anomaly. And after the game, Adebayo basically said, I played like shit. This loss is on me. And, you know, he did to some degree, but it's not, I don't think he's correct in saying that it was his fault. He wants to put it on himself. Noble, that's great for him, and I'm sure people, you know, the Locked On Heat podcast, they're loving him taking responsibility for it. That's what a leader does. But, you know, he needs to get the ball. He's not going to throw alley-oops to himself. I mean, I'm sure he could, but he's not going to. I don't know if he's limited by whatever happened to his arm. He was wearing that sleeve on his arm. Another funny thing from his post-game media availability, he was asked, so how is that arm? What is it? He just looks at the camera. He's got that squint. You got to watch it. He's like, I'm good. With this inflection, it was like, I'm sorry for asking, sir. Like, it was really like the most intimidating answer I've seen from a player. I think it was Ira Winderman who asked him. He's from the Sun-Times. Like, so what's going on with your arm? I'm good. Like, okay, thank you. It was really funny. But I don't know. It's clearly something's bothering him there. But whatever. Daniel Tice outplaying Bam Adebayo was huge, huge, huge in the second half. That first half, I don't know what to say about that first half. The only thing I can, I don't want to be too overreactive to what happened in this game. Also, let me bring this up because this is part of the whole thing. Gordon Hayward in the second half. I don't even want to give full game stats. Second half is all that matters. 17 minutes almost. 8 points in the second half. 3 of 6 shooting. A couple of free throws. Just one turnover, one assist. But getting into the teeth of the zone and shooting and scoring and being an important piece to that, he's starting to slowly come along. Gordon Hayward is. The Celtics had this first half where they admit that they were playing fast. They admit they were trying to do too much. Kemba Walker said after the game, we were bickering. We were frustrated. Frustrated with the refs. Frustrated with ourselves. There was one point where you could see Marcus Smart had Tyler Hero posted up, and he wanted the ball so bad that when he didn't get it, he was like throwing his arms up like, come on, I want the ball. Can't do that. Can't do that. You can't have those moments. And the Celtics had a bunch of those moments. And then at halftime, it was just like, you know what? Enough of this. Like, really, enough of this. And they came out in the second half and they just played. And three different guys after the game were like, you know what? We got back to a place, basically they said, we got back to a place where we enjoyed basketball. We let the game come to us and we just enjoyed the game. And so when I say I don't want to be overreactive, I'm looking at, I don't know how sustainable Tice outplaying Bam Adebayo is, but I will say that Tice waking up and playing with that level of energy is huge. Even if he doesn't outplay Bam Adebayo, how about not being outplayed as much as he had been by Bam Adebayo? How about playing so well that you don't have to play Enes Kanter, who did do some decent things offensively, but there's a ticking clock. Every time you put Enes Kanter in there, it's like one of those little timers. Someone turns the timer. One of the basketball gods turns the timer, and you don't know how long he turns it to. And at some point, that thing's going to go ding, and Enes Kanter's effectiveness is going to go away. Now, sometimes it dings as soon as he checks into the game. Sometimes it waits. You wait till later. But there's a finite, unless you're playing like the right matchup, like against Philly, there weren't many dings. But in this one, he was okay. He was okay in the first half. He was okay. Offensively, he was good. In the second half, it got pretty clear pretty quickly. Like, can't play Enes Kanter. But Daniel Tice playing like he did in the second half means you don't have to go to Enes Kanter. You don't have to see, does Rob Williams have it tonight? Can we trust him, or is he going to bite on every up fake and be out of position? You don't have to go to Grant Williams for extended minutes, and he's going to get, you know, Bam Adebayo shooting over the top of him, or some bad fouls or rookie calls. And I love Grant and I love Rob. I want those guys to do well, and sometimes they do. But Daniel Tice playing like this means you have less of the question marks. So if Daniel Tice can do this and not be so badly outplayed by Bam Adebayo, I don't even know if play him to a standstill, but just be good. Be Daniel Tice that we know. Get to the middle of the zone like he did. Hit a couple of shots there in the middle of the zone that were very important. You get Daniel Tice in the middle of the zone and he can hit those little shots, super important. If you can get that and Gordon Hayward being Gordon Hayward and the mentality that the Celtics may have learned a lesson, you say, hey, maybe at halftime they understand that don't go on the super ISO kicks, don't go slowing things down, play your defense, rebound, everybody rebound, don't stand around, get out into transition, and then everybody's going to score their points. Jason Tatum can get to the line. He wasn't hitting his shots very much, but he hit some timely ones, and he got to the line 9 times in the second half. 10 times. He hit 9. And I'm thinking, maybe they've learned a lesson. Maybe Daniel Tice has woken up. Maybe Kemba Walker is being a little bit more consistent. Maybe Gordon Hayward is starting to get back to normal after 5 weeks off. And now after a few games, he's kind of getting back into the swing of things. Maybe now Jaylen Brown can continue this hot shooting and improve his defense and be tighter on his rotations. I'm thinking all of these things tied up. You say, huh, well, it's 3-2. All you got to do is win a couple more games. It's right there. I mean, I'm not boiling it down to as simple as they tried. It's not that they weren't trying in the first half. They were just trying the wrong things. But if you really want to reduce it down to the most basic, digestible thing, it is go out there, try hard, but play the right way. Play your Celtics basketball. It's a ball movement offense. It's a defense that plays connected and plays together and understands where they're supposed to be. It's a defense that relies on Daniel Tice. So he better step up and play that kind of defense that he's known to play. If they can do that stuff, it's right there for him. I mean, I know it's the playoffs, and the reason why teams don't normally come back from 3-1 deficits is you're always playing a good team. The team that gets down 3-1 is generally playing a team that would be better than them, generally speaking. You've got home court that has to be involved. You got to win 3 games, which means you got to go to the other team's floor and win in a hostile environment. That's always tough, but the team that the Celtics are playing is the 5th seed. And yeah, they're a much different team than the 5th seed would normally be, but the Celtics are the 3rd seed. The Celtics are pretty damn good. They've got a couple of all-stars themselves, a former all-star, and a guy that could have been an all-star. So they've got that. They've got the talent advantage. There's no home court. You don't have to go to Miami. All you got to do is just go back to your hotel and you go back to the same damn gym that you've been playing at for 3 months. So the elements that normally keep teams from coming back from 3-1, they're not there. And maybe that's why Denver did it twice already in these playoffs. And maybe the Celtics can do it in this one. And this bubble will go down as the anything can happen bubble, because two teams will have come back from 3-1 in 3 different series And who knows what's going to happen with the Lakers are up 3-1, although this time I do not expect the Denver to come back. But hey, what if they did it again? I don't want to get too hyped up over this win, but the Celtics showed finally that for a half, they could actually step on the gas and kind of mostly keep it there. And maybe something clicked. Maybe. I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see in game six. There is a game six, and it's Sunday night. And then after that, there's a game seven, which I don't even know if it's been scheduled yet. I'll tell you, game six is Sunday night, which means game seven will be Tuesday night. It's just a matter of what time. But anyway, we'll see. And so I'll be here for you after Sunday night with a much more normal podcast with my normal structure and all of that stuff. But hey, I promised you a podcast, a bonus podcast, and here it is. So thank you. If you're a first-time listener, welcome aboard. I'm here for the people. You want podcasts after a game. The Celtics won. You need that podcast in the morning. It's going to be a beautiful, I think, September, late September morning. Grab a sweatshirt, sit outside, have a coffee, play the podcast. It's beautiful. So if you've liked the show, if you're a first-time listener, please subscribe. All of you other listeners who have been here for the normally Monday through Friday podcasts, thank you. Really appreciate it. Thank you for giving the 5-star ratings. Thank you for the good written reviews. And thank you for sharing. As always, tell everybody they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.